and so I'm, I appreciate that, and I'm grateful. And as we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, I want us all to see that we shouldn't take any of our choices for granted either. So we'll come back to that in a second. But I wanted us to take just a minute this morning to catch us up on where we've come to get to where we are today in Hebrews 11, which is where we're going to be reading from again today, Hebrews 11. As we wrap up this series of faith, faith is what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Since the first of the year, which started this whole thing, I've mentioned a couple times our vision for Lakeview Chapel in 2020, that we are building a community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight. That's what we're focused on. That's what we want to be able to do. That we want to be that community of faith in God that lives well, but not by sight. And I had this thought then as I was working on sermon this week and pulling everything together, I had this thought as well. As I talk about this, you know, for the last, you know, little over a month, 6 weeks, I've begun sermons by saying, you know, from the first of the year, and I thought, you know, they don't know me all that well. Maybe you think that all year long, I'm going to keep going back. And from the first of the year, and then lead us all the way, the sermons will get longer and longer as the year goes on. And I just want to, you know, no, I'm not going to do that, okay? just during this series, just recapping some of the things that we've been talking about, so I don't want you to worry. But just one more time today, I do want to do a quick review and wrap up our Faith Is series. So I want you to remember that faith is based on that solid reality, the foundation of who God is and what he has done, both as we read it in his word and as we've seen it in our lives and in the lives of others around us. That becomes that foundation on which we place our faith, our belief, our trust, our confidence, because that's what it gives us hope, a confident expectation that he will not change. God has, this is who he is. We sang this morning. This is who he is, and it's who he always will be. And we can count on that. It's not going to change on us. Faith is more than just that mental assent that we say, oh yeah, I know that. But it's a belief that then results in action. That it is our faith that moves us to act. It's how we live our lives. If there's no obedience to God, there's really no faith there either. Because it's not just about saying, I have faith in God. No, it's about having the faith and then living that day by day. Faith is forward focused. We talked about just a couple weeks back, as we saw in Abraham, who journeyed through this world, living his life every day like we do, looking at the things that are going on, but always with an eye on the promises of God. God made big promises to Abraham. You remember that? Because he's a big God. That's what he does. And we need to be recognizing those big promises he makes in our lives as well, and keep our eyes focused on those promises of God, living as if they are going to come true, including that final promise of our destination, which is heaven. And we keep our eyes focused there, because not only is it a promise, it is a reality for us, because God always, always, always keeps his word. Through that journey, as we saw last week, Abraham and Sarah both learned through a very hard test not to be possessive about the blessings that God gives. Because while some of those promises are out there, a lot of the promises have become blessings to us right now. And we live our lives filled with the blessings of God. And Abraham and Sarah reminded us, don't be possessive about those. Don't close your hand on those blessings and take them as our own. Offering Isaac as a sacrifice showed that they were holding even him, their only son, with open hands. And so like them, we should always seek the giver more than the gift. So today, all of that kind of fills into this one thought that we want to come to today. It comes back to this. Just like each of these inductees into the Hall of Faith that you read about in Hebrews 11, you and I have a choice to make. Each one of them had a choice to make, and you and I do too. And it's vital that we don't take for granted the power to choose, because God has given that to each of us. I really do think of it like a superpower. You know, we have the power to choose. So I want you to read along with me from the story of Moses today in Hebrews 11 and what went into his choice, because I think that these insights can help us make our choices in our own lives. So we're going to read from verses 23 to 29 in Hebrews chapter 11, where we're told that by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead for his reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do it, they were drowned. Do you see a common theme as we read this synopsis of Moses' story? Moses was born a chosen child. His parents chose, they looked at him and they said, oh, he's so beautiful. You know, pretty much like every mother ever, right? But they realized there's something special. And they chose, even though the law had been passed, that all the children, all the Hebrew children were going to be killed. They were to be sacrificed, given over, gone. And they said, no, we can't do that. And so they hid him. For 3 months, they hid him. I've had infants in my house. How in the world do you hide one? And when people are looking for him, I have no idea, but they did. And then they chose to do that, to break the law, to do that. Then they chose to release him into God's hands. They put him in a basket, and they laid him in the river, saying, okay, God. And God is faithful, isn't he? You remember the story. He was chosen. Moses then was also chosen by Pharaoh's daughter, who saw this basket. And like, what's that? Oh, it's a baby. Oh. And she took him in and raised him as her son. And then later in Moses' story, standing before the burning bush, God chose Moses to lead the Jews out of Egypt. But even though Moses was chosen in all these ways, he still had to make a lot of choices himself in his life. Some choices, good choices. Some choices, not so good choices. And so I tell you that, and God's word shows us that for a reason. He tells us about all of the choices in Exodus, so that you and I understand Moses is just like me, making choices. Some of them are good choices. Some of them are bad choices. So don't think in your mind, oh, Moses, he was a chosen child. He was the chosen leader. Yeah, but he made choices, and sometimes they weren't good, just like you and me. So when God calls us to make choices, it's not an excuse to say, well, I'm no Moses. No, you are. We are. The key is not to take those choices for granted. Once Moses was in Pharaoh's house, Moses grew up with all the benefits of being the ruler of a nation. The word opulent comes to mind when I think about how he must have lived in Egypt, because he was Pharaoh's grandson. It's like, woo, big deal. On the other side of the spectrum were the Hebrews, Moses' people. They were slaves of Pharaoh. And the words impoverished and hopeless come to mind. And I tell you this just in general because you see, these are like opposite ends of the spectrum here, right? It wasn't let Moses move down a couple houses down the street in this choice that he made. Moses chose to obey God, to suffer with his people. Because one day Moses saw a slave driver beating a Hebrew, and he stepped in to stop it, and he killed the Egyptian. And as you might imagine, that didn't sit well with Pharaoh. Moses fled for his life. He made a choice to side with the slaves rather than the masters, and by doing so, he lost that opulent life of the palace, and he accepted life as an outsider and the hard work of a shepherd in the wilderness. In Exodus 2:22, we get a glimpse of how Moses saw himself, because he described himself there as, I've been a resident alien in a foreign land. That's who Moses was. He went to Midian and he realized, I'm a resident alien in a foreign land. I don't belong here. Hebrews 11 sums it up this way in verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. Verse 26 goes on to say that Moses chose to suffer because he considered. Ooh, do you remember that word? That wasn't a part of the review. Do you remember that word, considered? He reckoned. He concluded after calculation that the reproach and the suffering with his own people would be worth more than the treasures of Egypt. He did the calculations. And I'm thinking, Moses, I'm not so good at math, but what were you thinking? How do you calculate something like that? How does that ever add up? As we look at, if we're looking at it through our human eyes, as we're making it, how do you calculate that? Well, like Abraham, Moses was looking ahead to the reward. It also says that Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Moses was looking at things that you can't see with these eyes, even if you wear glasses. By faith, see, that word kept coming up in Moses' story, didn't it? And all of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses saw as real the reward that had not yet come to him. By faith, Moses saw God for who he is, but he didn't see that with his physical eyes. By faith, Moses acted as if the reward was already his. And that God is who he said he is. And he does what he says he's going to do. Moses made his choices as if all of this invisible, not yet realized stuff was truly real. So was it worth it? Well, by faith, Moses instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. Remember during the plagues, God said, this is it. This is the one that's going to cap the whole thing. You're going to go home tomorrow. So tonight, sacrifice a lamb, sprinkle the blood over the doorpost, and then stay inside. Because the death angel is going to come and the firstborn of every family is going to die unless they're covered by the blood. And humanly speaking, looking at it with these eyes, we say, well, how's that going to make any difference? He believed the promise. And so Moses did it. The Hebrews were spared and set free. It goes on to say, by faith then, they crossed the Red Sea as though it was on dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do it, they were drowned. Because as they left and they were on their way to the promised land rejoicing, they come across this barrier, the Red Sea. And they're like, oh no, the army's behind us. They're chasing us. They're going to catch us and either kill us or take us back and make the slavery that much worse. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And God said, I got this. And he parted the Red Sea, so that the Hebrews could walk across on dry land. Those were promises that God was going to take care of them, that God was going to take care of Moses. And when Moses chose to follow them, none of it was visible at that time. But he believed, and he acted on his faith. You see, God vindicated Moses' choice by saving his life and the lives of his people. Not just these two times, lots of times throughout his life. God spared them and saved them and provided for them in miraculous ways. But when Moses made the choice to follow, none of that was spelled out in a contract anywhere. Other than God says, I'll take care of you. And he took him at his word. Top of all that, you realize that we're reading about Moses' life today, some 3,500 years later. We see him as a respected leader of Israel. It's like, wow. God kept his word, didn't he? Moses found that his faith in God was never misplaced. No regrets. That was Moses' example for us here in Hebrews 11. So how should Moses' example impact my life? Your life. How does reading this about Moses change the way I look at things? You realize that it's not good enough to read his story and merely respond, oh, good for Moses. Yay, Moses. If he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, does that say something about our outlook on this physical life today? It should. With Moses and the others recorded here in Hebrews 11 as examples for us, you and I should act. We should make our choices like the rewards that God's promised to us aren't real yet. Even though they're not real to us, we don't have them, they're promises. That's the whole thing of a promise. It's a promise made. And although we don't have it yet, do we look on it like they did as something that was real? Do we follow a God that we can't see, as if he is exactly who he says he is? By faith, Moses and the others here in Hebrews 11 did just that. And they stand as a testimony before us saying, you can too. Because when you share that same faith, you too will consider reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of this visible, tangible world that we live in. You conclude after your calculations and you choose Jesus. That's what Moses' example leads us to. But the problem with choices is that often the right choices, the choices that lead to the best things that God has for us, those are often the hardest choices to make. The choices that lead through pain and loss. David Crowder wrote a book a number of years ago. I looked, actually. It was 2006. That's a long time ago. I know already. seems really recent to me. But the title of it has always stuck in my mind, and it relates to what we're talking about here perfectly. The title of the book is Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die. And it's true. We all want the rewards. We want the treasures. We want the blessings of God. But choosing obedience and hardship and suffering? Not so much. We would like the choices for all the blessings to be a blessing themselves. Like, oh, that's the best thing. Isn't it wonderful? And in reality, it doesn't work that way. But I want us to look at the calculations again. Check your math on this. And not just with these earthly eyes. Moses was leaving Egypt's power and authority and wealth. I mean, they were his. Living in the palace. Power, authority, wealth. And he chose to leave that for the sake of Christ. Just like we leave behind the same things in this life. But check the math here. The truth, the reality is, there is more power in Jesus than anything in this world. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you believe that? The authority of a Pharaoh? Jesus has all that and more. Because it was Jesus who said, all authority. All. A-L-L. That means everything. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He told us that. And then he gave that authority to his followers. You and me. He's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So come on with me. And we're going to change the world. Lord, he said in Luke chapter 10, Lord, he made this prayer. I've given you the authority to trample. Look, he said, look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He's saying, I'm giving you all this authority, but that's not the big thing. There's more. It's like those, you know, television commercials, but wait, there's more. Just $9.99. No, but wait, there's more. Just hear what he said. You're going to walk on snakes and scorpions and have all this power over your enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. And he says, but wait, that's not the reason to rejoice. No, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. There is greater wealth and treasure to be gained with Jesus than you could accumulate ever in this, than anybody could accumulate in this world. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. When you do the calculations, don't just look at the stuff on this earth. Look at what's waiting for us. Look what's waiting for us. Moses understood that the power and the authority and the riches of this world are at best temporary. And he added that into his calculations. He considered his choice. You and I make choices all the time. Calculate it well. Be sure to include all the factors. What is your conclusion after you calculate all these things? You see, faith is, of all the things we've talked about, faith is your choice. It's your choice. Just don't take it for granted. Don't make that choice on limited information. Moses and I urge you to consider reproach for the sake of Christ to be a greater wealth than the treasures of this visible, tangible world. On your sermon notes, little calculation sheet. I know it's not laid out like that, but that's what it's designed to do. To help you make your own calculations. But to think about all the factors. It's not a choice to be made lightly or flippantly. Add it up. Choose carefully. Choose well. And I would encourage you, like Moses and the others, choose Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth from your word that you give to us. All the information we need in order to choose well. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us that great power to choose. The respect that you give to us, Lord, in leaving that choice to us. Thank you. And I pray, Father, this morning as we consider your truth, as we consider the choices that are before us, do I follow Jesus with my life? It won't be easy. And Lord, by your Spirit, you would lead us to make the best choice. We'll give you the glory and the praise for it always, Father. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.